Well, joy is the final product of righteousness. Then comes peace. Then comes joy. Joy means a calm delight. Calm. Everybody say calm.
Calm.
Would you like anything in your life right now to be calm? Well, it starts with righteousness. There's a lot to say about that. God bless you. You may be seated. Somehow the PowerPoint got all mixed up. Maybe I didn't send it. Not sure. But we will have the verses of Scripture. This is on the Godhead number 5, and we are about past foundation and getting ready to get into the meat of it. And this whole thing could be taught in probably about 3 nights if we was able to spend an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes. But we're having to break it up, trying to find an ending and then how to get started and carry on. The Godhead is really headship, the headship of God. And we will probably get into it next week, but we're still going to do some things, say some things, and some stuff tonight. But the most amazing thing is this. God, who exists in eternity, He is a spirit. All things, it doesn't matter in heaven, in earth, under the, it doesn't matter, is in Him. It's in Him. He exists in a place called eternity. You and I exist in a place called time and space. And if God is a spirit, He's the headship over all things. Only God could devise a plan that how He, who dwells in eternity, who is a spirit, there's nothing natural, nothing physical about Him, could find a way to insert Himself into time and space. Only God could devise that plan. And so in the beginning, we've studied this, in the beginning, YHWH. Everybody say YHWH. To God, it's a name. To us, it don't fit proper English because it has no vowels. It only has consonants and vowels, if there were any. I don't know. The I am created. YHWH. I wish I'd sent my PowerPoint. YHWH is a tetragram. Anybody here know what a tetragram is? A tetragram is a word consisting of 4 letters are characters. YHWH means, all it means is the self-existent. That's all it means. The self-existent. Self-existent means existing independently of other beings or causes. When we get into Scripture, we're going to give the definition to that same word over and over and over and over again because I want us to get it and to understand it. So self-existent means what? Existing independently of other beings or causes. So YHWH is God, who exist independently of other beings or causes. In the beginning is where the Bible begins. That's where the Bible begins. Genesis, that's all it means in the Hebrew, is the beginning. So in the beginning is where the Bible begins, but God, YHWH, was already there. He was before the beginning. In the beginning was the beginning of creation, the beginning of time. It was the commencement of the plan and purpose of God, YHWH, who is self-existent, independent of any other being or cause. So who and what is God? YHWH. We call him God. YHWH. In most Bibles, there is a caption that lets us know who wrote that Psalms. And this Psalm is a prayer of Moses. David, most people think David wrote the whole book of Psalms. That's not correct. There are many, many writers that make up the book of Psalms because the word Psalms, all it means is a songbook. It was Israel's hymnal. I would love to know how they sang all of those songs. The notes and the melody. We got the lyrics. We just don't have all the instruments and all the where to for and the parts. Because you have the sons of Heman. You have the sons of Asaph. They were the singers. They were the praise singers of those days. And to hear the baritones and the tenors and the sopranos. And to hear the basses. And to hear all of their parts. I would have loved to have heard that choir. Because that's all the book of Psalms is. It's a book of songs. And so Psalms is a prayer of Moses. In fact, it was turned into a song. Psalms 90 and 1. Lord, that is little O-R-D. In the original, it's capital L-O-R-D, Y-H-W-H. Y-H-W-H, self-existent. One who exists independently from others and all causes. Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And we know the definition of everlasting. All it means is vanishing point. That's all it means. Time, the beginning starts here, but it vanishes that way. We have no knowledge, no understanding of anything of before the beginning, but there was God. God, the self-existent, the one independent of all other beings. Before there was God, YHWH, the self-existent one. And after time, there will still be God, YHWH, the self-existent, the one who exists independently of other beings. He is the one true and living God. He is infinite. The word infinite, I've ran across it in the Greek a couple of times, in the Hebrew, in the Bible, and I cannot know where they are, but it's only mentioned a couple of times. In other translations, it's mentioned four or five times. But the word he is infinite. A good synonym to infinite is limitless, immeasurable, not quantified or qualified. It is always difficult for the finite to define the infinite. It's hard to define the infinite. Everything I know has a beginning and an ending. I had a beginning, I'm going to have an ending. My car had a beginning, it's going to have an ending. Someday that house, I don't know, it's not going to last forever. Civilizations don't last forever. Cities don't last forever. Nations don't last forever. Everything, there's so many nations and civilizations that lie smoldering in the ruins, covered up by foot, dust and dirt, and they're constantly excavating and they're pulling out of the earth these ancient civilizations and trying to piece them and put them back together. Everything about us has a beginning and the ending, and to try to wrap our brain around something called God that has no beginning, who has no ending, who's limitless, who is immeasurable, who cannot be quantified. You can't put him in volumes. It's impossible. And so God just says this, I am to exist. How did Moses know about this God he wrote about in Psalms 90? Exodus 3 and 4. And when the Lord, YHWH, the self-existent one, independent of all other beings or causes, saw. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. To interpret Scripture, you need to have an understanding of the Bible. What would you think if you had a dream where somebody's barefooted? They just don't have no shoes on. What do you think of a dream somebody has to where they have shoes on? Shoes is a sign of your human will. When you take off your shoes, hey, Moses, take off your shoes. Because what you've been walking in your will for 80 years, and I'm getting ready to change your direction, take off your shoes. It's a sign of submission and obedience to authority. Take off your shoes. You're getting ready to walk in the will of God, and no longer are you going to walk in your own will. Take off your shoes from your feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Skipping down to verse 13. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? YHWH is already talking to Moses, and now Moses is saying, what shall I tell them your name is? God had already introduced himself as YHWH. This is my name. Now what am I going to tell them your name is? God now does not give Moses an unpronounceable tetragram. He gives him a name. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. I am simply means to exist. YHWH is self-existent. I am is to exist, to become. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am to exist hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord, YHWH, the self-existent one, independent of all other beings, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. This is the YHWH saying, my name is I am. Simply, I exist. Can you imagine someone introducing themselves to you? I exist. Hey, my name is James Found. Hi, I exist. I'd be so foolish of us to do that. But when God makes that statement, he tells us more than we will ever be able to comprehend about him. Because he's immeasurable. He's limitless. You can't quantify or qualify him. Then he goes a little bit further with that statement, and he said this, I exist that I exist. While scholars can't really define this name, YHWH, they can't really define the name because all it means is self-existent. It must be connected somehow to I am that I am because both of those were called names. What name shall I give them? Tell them the I am, I exist, that I am, I exist, hath sent you. It's going to make a whole lot more sense later on. I'm trying to drive home YHWH, the self-existent, the one independent of all other beings and causes. That when you truly understand this, There is no way you can divide him up into two or three. Then tell them the Lord, YHWH, the self-existent God of your fathers, has sent you. So this one true and living God who exists before all things, who created all things, is known as the I Am. I exist God. So Brother Pound, I know it's foundation, because if you get this, you'll never be confused about, well, what about Jesus, the Son of God? Listen to this. Any name of God that does not have I Am in its foundation is not a name of God. Many times in the Bible, God emphasized to mankind in both the Old and New Testament that He is the I Am. And if that is not in the name, then it's not a name of God. The I Am is the only true one and living God. He's the only true and living God. That is God, the I Am. I exist. And any other title that is preferred over that one limits God. Well, what about Jesus? We're going to get him to him next week. Every other title that is used in the scripture, if that is made the preeminent title, it now limits God. It limits God. It puts God in a box. Because you see, Jesus is a name. It is not a title. Father is limited. Even if you attribute Father to the Heavenly Father, that is limited. Son is limited. Holy Ghost is limited. Lord is limited. Christ is limited. All of these are limited in their very scope and definition. You put God in a box because He's limited when you call Him Father. But when you call Him the I Am, can we ever call Him Father? I call Him Father at least 1,000 times a day. I'm not exaggerating. But I've limited Him. He is my Father. And He does for me what only a heavenly Father can do. But He's a Father. Or I can put Him in the box of a Son. Or I can put Him in the box of the Holy Ghost. I can put Him in these different categories. And you limit God in His scope and definition. So therefore, they cannot be names. Any name of God that does not have I Am at its foundation cannot be a name at all. And this is the message that God gave Moses in Exodus 3. I Am, I exist, and I Am, I exist, that I Am, I exist. I'm the limitless one. I'm the immeasurable one. Deuteronomy 32, 39. See now that I, even I, am He, and there is no God with me. Why? I self-exist. I'm independent of all other beings, all other causes. There's no God with me. I kill, I make alive, I wound, I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. Isaiah 43 and 10. You are my witnesses, saith the YHWH, the self-existent, independent of other beings. And my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Why? I exist. I am independent of all other beings or causes. See, we got to get that. I'm not up here just saying a bunch of stuff. We got to get this fact. He is the self-existent one that is independent of all other beings and causes. Verse 11, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I exist independent of other Saviors. There's none. I have declared, I have saved, I have showed when there was no strange God among you. I proved to you these strange gods. Therefore you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus saith the YHWH, self-existent, independent of other beings, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cry is in the ships. I am the YHWH, self-existent, independent of other beings, your Holy One. The Creator of Israel, your King. You do know it has to come by revelation, this self-existent one. My Father which in heaven has revealed this unto you. It hadn't been flesh and blood. It's a spiritual revelation. Everybody say, Holy One. I am the Lord, the YHWH, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Exactly 50 times in the Bible is the title Holy One used. 50 times. There is no other title that has the word holy in it that is even found in the Scripture. There's no other title, no other name that is mentioned with holy in it other than this 50 times, the Holy One. It does not exist. It is not a biblical term. Holy One is. Holy One is mentioned 50 times, and zero times is he called holy anything else. Just something I found in study. Isaiah 44:24. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith YHWH, the self-existent, independent of other beings, your Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone. Everybody say, heavens alone. That spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. Everybody say, by myself. There's a theme here. God is proving in the Scripture that there is none beside me, there's none before me, there's none after me. I am all alone. Why? I am YHWH. I am the I Am. I am self-existent, independent of all other beings. I'm all by myself. You can't add to me and you can't take away from me. Isaiah 45:18. For thus saith the Lord, YHWH, self-existent, independent of other beings, that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain, which means empty. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, YHWH, the self-existent, independent of other beings, and there is none else. Anybody got that memorized yet? YHWH. Self-existent, independent of all other beings. Got that memorized? Quote it back to me. Somebody lead it. Yes! All right. He said, I am the Lord, and there's none else. Get the theme? There's none else. There's none else. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I am the Lord, YHWH, the self-existent, independent of other beings. Speak righteousness, I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come, draw near together. Ye that are escaped of the nations, they have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell me and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord, YHWH, the self-existent, independent of other beings? And there is no God beside me. Here's the theme of God. There's none beside me, a just God, a Savior. There's none beside me. None, none. I am self-existent. I am the I Am. I exist independent of all other beings. Amen. If people, let's stay right there, Sister Penny. If people want to take the right hand of God literally, Jesus forever sits at the right hand of the Father of God, and you try to prove that there is two, that he's sitting at the right hand of God, then we must take this verse also literally. We must take that literally. If he sits at the right hand of the Father, YHWH, the self-existent who is independent of other beings, said, whoa, there's none beside me. Wade, sit right there. Tyler, come sit over there by his right hand. You want to take that literally? Literal? Right hand? He's sitting literally at the right hand of the Father? Then if that is literal, then that is literal. When the YHWH, the one who is self-existent, independent of all others, said, whoa, there's none beside me. Unless you truly understand the right hand of God. Thank you. It deals with authority and power. The physical body, the fleshly body, the natural part of God now sits in the authority and the power of the eternal one. And so, there's no one on my right, and there's no one on my left. There's none before me. There's none after me. Why? I exist independent of all other beings. If this is true, Jesus literally sitting at the right hand of the Father, then there are contradictions in the Bible. Verse 22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God. Here's the theme. There is none else. I'm telling you, if we truly get the revelation of the I am, the self-existent one that is independent of all other beings, the YHWH, I'm telling you, nobody, it doesn't matter what they throw at you, you're going to say, no, 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 there's only one God. Look unto me, be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God. There is none else, none else. Everybody say, there's none else. I have sworn by myself. The word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Isaiah 48:12. Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he. Now this is Isaiah. This is YHWH. The self-existent one, independent of all other beings, said, I am he, I am the first, and I also am the last. John 8:22. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Speaking of Jesus, because he said, whither I go, you can't come. Why, I'm going back into eternity where I was the self-existent one. And he said unto them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I'm not of this world. And I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. If you have a printed Bible, you will find that the H-E, he, is in italics. It's in italics. Which means the translators were being very transparent with that word he and let us know it's not in the original Greek, and they added it because they thought it belonged there and it would help for reading. It must have been difficult for them to leave it as it was literally spoken when Jesus said, except you believe that I am. Except you believe that I am. You got to believe I am the self-existent one, independent of all other beings. I am. Then said they unto him, who are you? And Jesus said unto them, even the name that I said unto you from the beginning. Well, I don't know if we've ever caught that before. Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. What do you mean from the beginning? In the beginning. Who? The I am. The self-existent one. The YHWH. Who's independent of all others. I told you from the beginning. Now you've got to understand that I am He from the very beginning. In the beginning, God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All things were made by Him. There was not anything made that was made. By Him all things consist. From the beginning, He's talking to them. I'm telling you what. I'm the I Am. I'm independent of others. I told you that from the beginning of time, where He instituted and set in motion His plan and His purpose. Then He said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, you're not even 50 years old, and you telling me you've seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. I am. Because of this statement, they did this. They took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by, because they completely understood what Jesus was saying. Because how many I Ams can there be? One that exists independently from all others, all by themselves. How many are there? They knew what he was saying. I told you from the beginning. See, there's a whole lot more going on there than we really give credit to it, because, I mean, he's having a conversation with these people, and they're very studied in the Scripture, and YHWH, and I Am, and they know these verses of Scripture. And then Jesus said, yep, I am. Told you that from the beginning. Revelation 21:6, and he said unto me, it is done. We just read this in Isaiah. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I'll be his God. He shall be my son. The I Am is the one and only true living God. Jeremiah 10:10. Brother Brian. But the Lord, YHWH, the self-existent one, independent of others. But the Lord, YHWH, is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. Thus shall ye say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens, because they don't exist alone. They're just piled up in the same heap that all of the other gods that cannot see, hear, smell, taste, speak are. 1 Thessalonians 1:9. For they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. There's only one true living God. He is the I Am. He's YHWH. He's the self-existent one, the one who is independent of all other beings or causes. And if he is saying the true and living God, talking about Paul, then there must be gods who are not true and living gods. And obviously there are gods that are not alive. And what could be worse than having a dead, false God? Tonight, this has kind of been part of a foundation for the next part of how that the I Am, the self-existent one, the YHWH, who exists all alone from all other beings. In him is everything, everything. God exists in eternity. There is no time, there is no space. And how that this God devised the most miraculous, marvelous plan of how, as a spirit, he could become physical and natural and insert himself into his creation and become part of time and space. And when we understand fully what we've been teaching, Jesus will be no problem. I'm going to say that again. If we truly get a hold of what we've been teaching, Jesus will be no problem. Answering the question, who's he praying to in the garden? Who was he saying? See, we got to get this right foundation. It's line upon line upon line upon line, precept upon precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. And when we understand the I am and the YHWH, Jesus Christ will, to us, will never become a second person. Because now we have a name that is more than consonants. When he said, I come in my Father's name, what name do you think he was coming in? YHWH. I am. When you see me, you've seen the Father. You can't separate us. Because he is God made flesh who inserted himself in time and space. He's still the self-existent one. How do you exist out here, yet live in here? Asking us to stand. Could you just reach over and pray with somebody right now and ask God to give us a revelation and a true understanding of this knowledge, that it will get in our hearts and our spirits and become such a part of our internal being? Father, in the name of Jesus, I loose and release into us such a spiritual revelation, such a spiritual knowledge. You revealed to Peter who he was. It did not come by flesh and blood, but it came by revelation. And I loose and release revelation with your word into our hearts, into our spirits, into our inner man, working in us.